In Hebrews chapter 13, notice in verse 8, Hebrews 13 verse 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Now this passage is used by people today to bolster their efforts to heal and to speak in tongues and all that kind of business. The idea being that they have to have some excuse for doing what they're doing, and so they say that Jesus Christ is no, in other words, that he is dealing with people no different today than he did at any other time in the past. And yet that's a misunderstanding in the scripture. Jesus Christ is the same. Jesus Christ is Lord and so forth, and that's the same. But Jesus Christ's ministry and his manner in which he deals with people is different in ages. Hence the result is dispensations. For instance, we live in the dispensation of the grace of God. Now, people say that that which is behind back there was the dispensation of the law. Well, I don't know about that. The Bible didn't say anything about a dispensation of the law. But it does tell me that Paul was given the dispensation of the gospel, and that he was given the dispensation of the grace of God and the dispensation of God. Peter was given the keys to the kingdom, and hence their messages were different. And so there are a couple of things here this morning that I want to refer to pertaining to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to put on the board, I'm going to come back here, and I'm going to say that back here represents the nation Egypt, the people of Egypt. And Egypt represents the world in the Bible. They're Gentiles, and they're worshiping idols. In fact of the business, the reason that God needed to redeem Israel out from Egypt back in Exodus was because that they could not offer a blood sacrifice to God. And the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. In other words, the Israelites were among the Egyptians, and the Egyptians worshiped the animals. In other words, the animals were their gods, and therefore the Israelites couldn't kill the animals to worship their God, for in doing so, they would have been killing the Egyptians' gods. Therefore, they must leave there. And when Moses went in unto Pharaoh, he said that God sent me to tell you to let my people go out into the wilderness that they may worship me. And that has been a part of confusion to people for a long time, because they didn't understand why must they leave there to worship God. Because you can't worship God without a sacrifice. Without the shedding of blood, there can be no entrance into where God is. There can be no relationship with God without the shedding of blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission for sin. Redemption is by blood, and so forth. Now, so God Almighty sent Moses, and Moses told them to take a lamb. The lamb that they took represents, in some manner, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so on the first month, the 14th day of the month, at evening, they killed that lamb and took the blood of that lamb and put on their door and over the top of the door and got inside their houses. Now they were redeemed by the blood of that lamb, and they were sanctified by that lamb. That is, when the death angel passed over that night, if he saw the blood on the door, he would pass over. But if he didn't see that blood, he had already told them that God is going to come in there and the Lord will kill the oldest son in that house. And so where that blood was not manifest outside that door, that death angel slew the oldest member in that house. Now, in doing this, God redeemed a nation, and we'll say these two lines here represent that nation. That nation is Israel. And you'll notice that they were baptized in the Red Sea. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 that they were baptized in the sea and in the cloud unto Moses. So God formed a nation through the preaching of a gospel. Let's think about that a second. In other words, Moses is preaching to people under bondage good news. What is that good news? If you'll kill the lamb and put the blood over the door, God will free you from the bondage of the Egyptians. That was good news. If you were under bondage, basically you are. If you were under bondage and there was an opportunity to be free, That'd be good news, would it not? The good news to the people of Israel is you can be set free. How? By killing this lamb and putting the blood on the door. Now, let's assume that there was a certain Israelite there, that he heard all about all this, and he said, okay, I see that. And he goes and gets his lamb. He carries that lamb out into the desert somewhere, takes an axe or something, and hits that lamb between the eyes with the butt of that axe and kills it. And that lamb just falls over in the desert there and dies lying there in the sand. And he walks away and leaves it there, goes back to his home, and gets inside his house. And he said, I'm redeemed by the death of that lamb. And he gets inside his house, and so nighttime comes. And that night, the death angel came at 12, and at 12 o'clock, that death angel comes in and kills that son in that house. The man said, when he got in there, said, son, you don't need to worry about anything. I've taken care of everything. I killed the lamb. Everything is taken care of. Now you cannot worry. The death angel will pass over us. But the death angel would not pass over. Why? Because he must shed the blood of that lamb. The blood is the testimony of the fact the lamb has been killed. It was not enough just to kill the lamb. The blood must be caught in a basin. They must take the hyssop and spread that blood on the door and over the door facing and whatever, and the angel would see the blood and pass over. If he didn't see the blood, then that kid would be killed in that house. The blood must be shed. And so they are redeemed by the blood of a four-legged lamb. Now, this nation went into apostasy. As we come down the line, look at the situation that they entered into. Turn in your Bible, please, to Leviticus. In Leviticus chapter 1, verse 2, God said, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, if any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, you shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd, and of the flock. If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. And he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. And he shall kill the bullock before the Lord, and the priest, Aaron's sons, shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood round about upon the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and on and on. Now, on the first month, the 14th day of the month, the head of the house killed the lamb, and by doing so and taking the blood, they were passed over, see. In other words, they were redeemed by the blood of that lamb, but the head of the house did the work. He killed the lamb. Now, on the seventh month and the 10th day of the month out in the wilderness, the tabernacle was set up, and the trumpets were blown. And they assembled with three tribes here, three tribes here, three tribes here, and three tribes here. And the bullock was brought, and the sacrifice was made to make atonement for the people. In other words, they were redeemed by the blood of this lamb, but not forgiven. It is one thing to be redeemed, it's another thing to be forgiven. They had atonement and forgiveness by the blood of the bullock offered by the priesthood. In other words, the head of the house offered the lamb to redeem them, but the priest offered the sacrifices for their forgiveness. Now, my point in all this is that God Almighty said, if you want it, you can bring it. If you want this, by your own free will, you bring this sacrifice. There is no commandment. There is no order to do so. It's if you want to. Notice in verse 3, if his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. In other words, there is no orders to do it. They could do it of their own voluntary will. Now, what would cause them to do that? The reading of the law. In other words, they were redeemed by the blood of this lamb, baptized in the Red Sea, and then given the law and the commandments. The law was read unto them. The law said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image of anything in heaven above or the earth beneath. Thou shalt not bow down to them nor worship them. I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, and on and on. And he begins to give them the law, and the law is read unto them. Why the law? The law was given to condemn them. The law was not given to save them. It was given to bring condemnation to them, to show them they needed a sacrifice. And so they would hear the law read, get under conviction that they were in a miserable state, and then they would take their bullock or their sacrifice, and they would bring that there of their own voluntary will, and that sacrifice would be made. Y'all understand? In other words, sacrifices were voluntary, based upon their desire, based upon their need. Why would they have a need? Because the law showed them they were condemned. The law didn't save them. The law condemned them. They got forgiveness by the blood of the sacrifices that were offered by the priesthood. Now, before I go further, do you have a question? If you don't understand what we did up to here, you aren't going to understand what we're going to do as we go on.
They got forgiveness, he said?
Yes, they did.
Forgiveness of all their sins.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did. And the offering of these sacrifices here matches on the other side 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In other words, the tribulation passage. In other words, in the tribulation, people again, see, will be operating on the same basis, except in the confessing of their sins, Jesus will be the sacrifice that was given for them.
What about in Hebrews where it said that the blood of, you know, lambs or whatever could never take away sin?
It couldn't take away their sins.
Well,
but they got forgiveness. It didn't take it away. They got forgiveness. When Jesus Christ died at Calvary, he carried their sins away that had been forgiven by the blood of the bulls and the goats.
Does that mean that they just weren't going to suffer any consequences?
God weren't going to kill them.
At that time,
God weren't going to kill them right then. Basically, what really took place is, maybe I need to go in detail in this thing. The Ark of the Covenant was set up like this, and the two tables of stone were inside that ark. These tables of stone had the law written upon them. All right, above the ark was the mercy seat with the cherubim overshadowing it. The blood of the bullock was sprinkled on top of this, not on the people. The blood was sprinkled up there. The point was that God couldn't see through the blood. The blood covered the law, therefore God couldn't see his law. He couldn't see the condemnation he had against them, don't you see? In other words, wherein there is no law, there is no condemnation. Condemnation is by the law. Look how this works. Figures with us. Hold on to Leviticus there and turn to Romans, please. First, turn to Colossians. Look in Colossians chapter 2.
So this just kind of kept things in check for
him. Kept God from killing them. In Colossians chapter 2, look in verse 13, Colossians 2:13, and then if you got a Nelson Bible, it's page 245. All right, in Colossians 2, verse 13, and you being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Go to verse 16, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink, or in respect of a holy day, the new moon, and on and on and on. In other words, then, when Jesus Christ died for our sins, Jesus Christ took the law out of the way. In other words, he didn't just cover the law, he took it out of the way, don't you understand? In other words, our sins are not just covered up. In other words, the law is not just covered up by his blood for us. It's removed. If there's no law, there's no condemnation. In other words, if there's no law in government today, you can't be arrested. You can't be put in jail if there's no crime committed. Well, I guess you can. But you're not supposed to be. Y'all understand? Now, they committed sin. What is sin? Transgression of the law. When they saw that, they went and offered the sacrifice. What did the sacrifice do? The blood covered the law so that God couldn't see the law and kill them for having done contrary to the law, don't you see? Where there's no law, there's no transgression. Turn to Romans and look in Romans chapter 5. Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. In other words, if there was not a law against it, there'd be no condemnation for it. Then is the law taken out away in your behalf?
Amen.
Can God condemn me?
No.
He can't condemn me when he ain't got any law to condemn me by. And so, see, the law, the tables of stone was in the ark there. The blood was put on top of it, covered it. Therefore, their sin, transgression of the law, was covered. Then God didn't kill them. Okay? All right, now, let's try something. Turn, please, to Isaiah. And look what happened. Here is the condition when Christ came. In Isaiah, and look in Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah 1, verse 2. Be page 756 in a Nelson Bible. All right, Isaiah 1, verse 2. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they've rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people do not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They've forsaken the Lord. They've provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They're going away backward, and it just goes on and on. Now look in verse 10. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah in the context are the people of Israel. In other words, the people of Israel were in the same boat as Sodom and Gomorrah had been in the days of Lot. Verse 11. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me? You see what he's saying? He's saying, why are you making sacrifices? Why ask a question like that? Because they didn't believe they had any sin. In other words, if they didn't have any sin, why bring a sacrifice? Jesus Christ, when he came, said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which is lost. If people are not lost, they don't need to be saved, do they? If you're not a sinner, you don't need a Savior. But what's happening in the religious system today? They're teaching you that if you quit sinning, God will save you. They're teaching you don't need a sacrifice. Therefore, if you watch television this morning and last week and listen to radio or whatever, there's no telling how many preachers on television you heard talk about the tragedy of the death of Christ. Oh, yes. Jesus Christ's death was such a tragedy. They killed him. Yet Paul said, I glory in the cross of Christ. I'm glad Jesus died. You understand me?
Amen.
Why? Because I'm a dreadful sinner. And without the death of Christ, I couldn't be saved. Tragedy in my foot. It'd be a tragedy if Jesus Christ had not died. When I hear some character on television doing that, I know I'm listening to a nincompoop. I know I'm listening to an individual who doesn't know what he's talking about. No tragedy. You know, see people talk about Israel putting Jesus Christ to death. Oh yeah, I get a paper called The Spotlight. These people are always accusing Israel for the death of Jesus Christ. God put Jesus to death. Don't you understand that? God offered a sacrifice for your sins. He put him to death. Why don't they blame him? These people of Israel had gotten to the... Don't you see what they had done? They were likened to a bride that had received a diamond ring, engagement ring, and she threw the ring away and kept the box. They are. They're worshiping the law. They're not worshiping God. They're worshiping that very law itself. And instead of saying, we're condemned by the law, they're saying, we don't need them. And so then why did they offer a sacrifice? The sacrifice was a part of their ceremonies. They were just killing thousands and thousands and thousands of animals as a part of their ceremonial law. As this morning, as sure as you're in this room, there are literally millions of people in America that are just worshiping away, and they are worshiping everything but God. They don't see Jesus Christ's death as payment for their sins. Why? They don't believe they got any. They're good. They don't need a Savior. Well, anyway, Isaiah 1 verse 11, to what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I'm full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts. I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When you come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Why, Jesus, God could say to the church today, I delight not in the blood of my son as a part of your ceremonial thing that you carry on every Sunday morning. Do y'all understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
Jesus Christ died to pay for people's sins, not for them to delight, just, you know, have a religion over. In that sense, I guess it's a tragedy. Verse 12, when you come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and the Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They're a trouble unto me. I'm weary to bear them. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I'll not hear. Your hands are full of blood. In other words, they were going to be held accountable for the thousands of animals that they had sacrificed when they didn't have any need to sacrifice them because they said, we are not sinners. We're better than everybody else. Look in Isaiah chapter 65, verse 2. I have spread out my hands all day unto a rebellious people which walketh in a way that was not good after their own thoughts. A people that provoketh me to anger continually in my face, that sacrificeth in gardens and burneth incense upon altars of brick, which remain among the graves and lodge in the monuments, would eat swine's flesh and broth of abominable things in their vessels, which say, stand by thyself, come not near to me, for I am holier than thou. These are smoke in my nose, a fire that burneth all the day, and on and on. In other words, they said, we're better than everybody else. Don't get close to me. You might defy me. I'm better than you. And he said, why, it smells, it's a stench. Look in chapter 66, verse 2. For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord, but to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. He that killeth an ox is as if he slew a man. He that sacrificeth a lamb, as if he cut off a dog's neck. He that offereth an oblation, as if he offered swine's blood. He that burneth incense, as if he blessed an idol. Yea, they've chosen their own ways. Their soul delighteth in their abominations. And he just goes on. In other words, then, so I'm going to come on the other side over here, and I'm going to say, that's the nation Israel when Jesus Christ came. In other words, they were given the laws and the sacrifice. They're given the whole thing. But it turned into an abomination. It was all idolatry. And so when Jesus Christ came down here, that's the way Israel was. Israel was under bondage to their own religious system. Just as they'd been under bondage to Egypt back here, now they're under bondage to the rulers and Palestine. Now, what if you'd lived in the days of Egypt and you wanted to worship God? What could you have done? Come on, let's have some light in the class. If you'd have been an Israelite in Egypt, what could you have done? Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Well, what could you have done to get to God? He sure had to sneak around and do it, wouldn't he? Well, you couldn't worship God openly. They'd kill you. But wait a minute. In the days of Jesus Christ, what would you do? God had already designated that Jerusalem is the place that you're offered the sacrifices, and yet the priesthood had taken over in Jerusalem, so if you wanted to make a sacrifice, it'd be an abomination to make it outside of Jerusalem. But if you brought it to Jerusalem and those priests offered it, it would be as if a dog's head had been cut off. It'd be as if a man was slain enough, so you'd be in a mess, wouldn't you? That was the condition in that day. And so Jesus Christ began to preach good news. And so he got a group together. First, there's 12 of them. And then Jesus Christ died. He died to redeem them. He died to redeem that bunch that he got together, just like Moses back here. They offered the lamb back here to be redeemed, and they were baptized in the Red Sea. All right, these over here, Jesus Christ is God's lamb. So back here, we've got a lamb, a four-legged beast, if you please, that's killed on the first month, 14th day of the month. We've got a lamb here, which John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." So we've got a lamb here, but he's not a four-footed beast. And this lamb is sacrificed on the first month, the 14th day of the month, just like back here, over here. And so these that believe in redemption by his blood are baptized with the baptism of repentance. And so they leave the nation. They come out of the nation, separate themselves from the nation, and follow Christ, the Lamb. Hence, the nation hated Christ and the people that followed him. Rome did. And in the first century, they put them to death by the thousands. Just as Pharaoh back here tried to kill these Israelites here, Caesar and the Roman Empire tried to kill these believers over here. And so they go out of Israel by faith in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the Lamb of God. Now, do you have a question? Turn, please, to 1 Peter. In 1 Peter, and look in chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter. I tell you what, do take Exodus 19 in one hand and 1 Peter 2 in the other. That'd be good. We'll read Exodus 19 first. Exodus 19, verse 3. "And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. All the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel." Well, then those people that came out of Egypt over here were a holy nation. They were a kingdom of priests. God redeemed them by the blood of a lamb. Now go to 1 Peter chapter 2. In 1 Peter chapter 2, notice in verse 9, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light," on and on and on. In other words, just as then there is a nation called out of Egypt over here, there is a new nation called out of Israel here through Christ. This nation here is called a kingdom of priests. This nation here is called a kingdom of priests. This nation is redeemed by the blood of a lamb. This nation is redeemed by the blood of a lamb. This nation is baptized in the Red Sea. This nation is baptized with the baptism of repentance. This nation back here has a law given unto it called the Old Testament. This nation here has got a law given unto it called the New Testament. Disobedience under this law back here brings condemnation. Disobedience to the New Testament law brings condemnation. When they were condemned here, they brought a sacrifice for their condemnation to get forgiveness. When they're guilty of transgression of the New Testament law, they confess their sins, 1 John 1:9, looking back to that lamb and that bullock that was sacrificed. Christ is he's the lamb, the bullock, he's the sheep, in other words, he's the fulfillment of all those sacrifices. You see, 1 John 1:9, over here does for those people what Leviticus 1 through 7 did for those back there. The condemnation by the law here matches the condemnation by New Testament law over here. You see, you're being taught all over the world today that the church is a New Testament church. No way. No way. If the church was the New Testament church, everybody in this room would be dead as a doornail right now. God had already killed you. You see, people have some idea that the New Testament law is like some tea party or something. I mean, like an Easter egg hunt. Silly nonsense. I mean, you know, that it just has to do with getting baptized. All that kind of stuff. Folks, the New Testament law is severe. Jesus Christ said, Moses said unto you, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after hath committed adultery within his heart. Boing. You need to work on that a while. How many of you in this room have gotten on your knees before God at night and confessed to God that you lusted after some woman during the day and begged God for forgiveness? While that dude back there, if he committed adultery, you know what he did? He brought a sacrifice as a confession of his sin of adultery. And if he didn't bring the sacrifice, you know what happened to him? He'd die. Hence, over here, you know what happened to people in the New Testament, in the first century? You know what happened to people that didn't abide by? They were killed. Look in Acts chapter 5. I don't mean right now. Ananias and Sapphira lied to the Holy Ghost. Boink. Out they went. Dead. It's severe. Now, so I come on the other side. In other words, we got a nation here and a nation here, but I come over here and I find here is the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul is given a new revelation. And so, he preaches a different sacrifice. In other words, it's made back here, and yet he preaches it over here. These people are redeemed by the blood of a lamb. These people are redeemed by the blood of a lamb. This is a four-legged beast. This is a two-legged man. But these in here that make up the church, which is the body of Christ, are redeemed by a man, if you please. Romans chapter 5. Compare. In 1 Peter. You got 1 Peter there? Look in 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Jesus Christ then is a lamb of redemption for those people. But turn to Romans, please, and look in Romans 5. In Romans 5, verse 12. Wherefore is by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Come to verse 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. Verse 15, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For through the offense of one, Adam, many be dead. Much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Verse 16. Not as it was by one, and I could add, man that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one man to condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. In other words, we're condemned by the sin of Adam. We are justified by the obedience of Christ. We're made sinners by the disobedience of the first man, Adam. We're justified by the obedience of the man Christ. Not a lamb. And we're not a nation. You see, in Christ, there's neither male nor female, bond nor free, Jew nor Gentile. We're all one in Christ. The body of Christ is not nationally. Israel, the new nation, is national. Israel out of Egypt is national. We're not national. Now, we are national in the human flesh, but this is a spiritual body over here, made up of spiritual people, with spiritual blessings, in spiritual places, and so forth and so on. Romans chapter 5, verse 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, for the righteous of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Verse 19. For by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one, shall many be made righteous, and on and on. Folks, it's unmistakable. In other words, these were redeemed by the blood of a four-legged lamb. The nation here is redeemed by the blood of Christ the Lamb. These were baptized in the sea. These are baptized the baptism of repentance. These had a law given unto them called the Old Testament law. These had a law given unto them called the New Testament law. But these over here, which make up the body of Christ, the church which is his body, these are redeemed by the man, Jesus Christ, and they are baptized by spiritual baptism. By one spirit are we baptized into one body. The baptism was performed by them going through the sea back here. The baptism is performed here by people administering it. The baptism is performed by the Spirit of God over here. It's all of grace. You don't lift a hand. You trust. These had to do. These had to believe and do. You just believe and trust. The whole thing is finished. It's done. But one other thing. These in here had a New Testament law. These over here's got that which you call the law of Christ. In other words, there are some rules and regulations for the church which is the body of Christ. And make no mistake about it.
Okay, this is also saying that this justifies you for your entire, all your sins.
Absolutely.
And not just one.
No, absolutely. Forever and ever and ever.
It says it would appraise many offenses unto justification.
No offense that can go beyond that. Okay.